If I look back at my career, there were a few key things that really helped me. One of them was, first of all, I was not looking, I was just looking to do something interesting. I was just thinking, like, how can I use my skills to help create something that will be used by people and that will be useful and make the world a better place?
That is the voice of YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki, and she'll be giving us seven super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have
hard.
A dream.
You can't handle the truth.
Seven.
Six.
Five.
Four.
Three.
Two.
One.
Super, 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 super.
Super you. Well, thank you all you amazing people that have joined here today, and I hope you're doing well. I hope you're happy and healthy out there. It's been a crazy year, but I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we're going to talk about YouTube today. We have the CEO, Susan Wojcicki, today, and we're super pumped because, heck, YouTube's been really good to me personally. Some of you guys might know this story, but when I wrote the book Socialnomics, which is going on, I guess, a decade now, I did a video to help explain kind of what socialnomics was. And I called it Social Media Revolution. And ironically enough, or crazy enough, not ironically enough, crazy enough, I posted on YouTube over the weekend. This is going back a decade. But I go, man, I don't know if this music's going to hold, if the rights, if it's going to get scrubbed. So instead of launching on Socialnomics, our YouTube channel, I said, why don't I go Socialnomics 09 to test it? And the song was Fatboy Slim, Right Here, Right Now. A lot of you have watched the video. Actually, crazy enough, I think over 35 million people have watched a version of the video because we continue to update it. But I launched the video on the test, Socialnomics 09, and then it went massively viral over the weekend so that I couldn't take it down off this channel. So we've had this double channel issue forever. So we've had Socialnomics 09, but our main channel's Socialnomics, and now it's Equal Man. So it's been quite a journey, but it's a long story to say that YouTube's been super helpful for my career. And obviously with the animation team at Equal Man Studios, so we use it all the time. Can't thank all of you enough for subscribing to the channel, but also just those millions and millions of views over the year. It's overwhelming. So thank you so much. I'm glad you found so much use out of that video, which has been kind of bittersweet, kind of like when you graduate college, at least for me. Undergrad, you're like, oh, I'm glad I got the diploma, but oh my gosh, I have to become an adult. Maybe another semester. Who knows? But we've all been there. But bittersweet from the standpoint of we've had to update that because the statistics change so much all the time. So we're constantly updating it. But it's a very, very nice problem to have. So thank you for the support of that. I'm glad it's helped so many of you out there. For those of you that don't know what the heck I'm talking about or have never seen the video, feel free to go to our channel. It's Equal Man. Just type in Equal Man YouTube. You'll get to our channel. And the latest version is called Digital Transformation. And so it's 2 minutes. It's got a lot of stats in there. People seem to enjoy it. They use it to open movies. Not movies. Someday it'll open movies. It opens conferences. But anyways, I'm going to stop talking. I want to get the tip number one from YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki.
Well, I had worked in advertising for almost 12 years. And so when the opportunity came up to work at YouTube and work with creators and think about the next generation of TV, I was really excited. And when I first got to YouTube, it reminded me a lot of Google in 2003 or 2004. When we were a much smaller company, when we had all the different cross-functional groups in the same area, and we had all these big plans, but we didn't have enough people to get them done. And so a lot of times in my head, I was thinking, like, what did I do in 2003 or 2004 when we didn't have all the people to help us, and we didn't have all these different people who were experts in the area? How did we get through it? And so I've been thinking a lot about that and thinking about what did I learn from that? Going through it once, how can I do it better the second time?
This is interesting because Wojcicki worked at Google and helped build it up. And so they had all these resources at Google, and they still do today. She jumps ship, goes to YouTube. As many of you know, Google purchases YouTube. So then she eventually becomes the CEO of YouTube, and they don't have as many resources as the mothership, as Google. And so she's wrestling with that. But what's interesting for all you listeners out there, you've heard this common theme from all the guests that we've had, from all the 7 super tips we've received. A lot of them will say, when you have limited resources, the average will say, well, we can't do it. We don't have the resources. And then the truly great say, what a blessing. Now I'm going to get creative. Because of this lack of resource, it's going to make us get creative. Whether that's we don't have enough money, whether we don't have enough people power, it makes you get super creative. And it sees a path you never would have thought of when you're sitting there fat and happy with all these resources. So here we are, moving on to tip number 2.
I actually started working with digital video from the very, very beginning. So before YouTube got started at Google, we decided that we were going to let people just upload video. And we didn't tell them what we were going to do with it. We just did this experiment. Send us your video and we'll see what happens. And all these people uploaded video. And I remember getting together with a bunch of friends at Google and we said, let's watch this video that people uploaded. We had no idea what people would have uploaded. And we watched the first video, and I'll always remember that one because it was something I'd never seen before, which was just a bunch of puppets singing in a language I didn't understand, and they were purple and furry. And at the end of the video, we all just looked at that and we said, that was really strange. And I wasn't sure how to process it. My kids thought it was the funniest thing they had ever seen and started laughing and just wanted us to play it again. And that was my introduction to just seeing all this video that people had uploaded. And it was different than what we had seen on traditional media. So we started developing much more product at Google for digital media. And I think what we discovered that was really insightful was that people, first of all, wanted to tell their stories, but also the average audience wanted to see other people's stories. Yeah. And I couldn't have predicted that. And what I think about is it's very human that people wanted to connect with each other on a human basis. And that's what led me to have conviction that this was going to be a really important medium. And I was a big advocate of Google buying YouTube. And that was almost 15 years ago. And so I'm really pleased I've been able to be here as CEO for the last 5 years. I've always believed in digital video and online video and online video communities. And so it's been an honor to be here and to be leading YouTube.
As Wojcicki mentioned, she was at Google since the beginning. She was their 16th employee, and she actually worked out of her garage for the first few months. And when we look back, here's a trivia question. What's the name of the first YouTube video? A lot of us can remember what is the first video ever played on MTV. Video killed the radio star, of course, but the first YouTube video was called Meet Me at the Zoo, April 23rd, 2005. Just a young kid going at the zoo. Meet me at the zoo. Why don't you meet me at tip number 3?
I think it's been incredible. When we're going to look back on time, I think we're going to see how influential these years were in changing our culture, changing how we communicate. And if you look back over time, there is not a lot of moments in time that have been this historical in terms of changing the way we communicate and the way we receive information. So it's an incredibly important period of time, and that's also why I want to make sure we get it right. I want to make sure that YouTube enables everyone to be able to access that information. We have such an incredible global library of information and videos that you can laugh and learn. And the fact that no matter who you are in the world, you can access that library is a pretty incredible fact.
Don't waste a pandemic. It's our time, and so many in our lifetime. This is probably gonna be the only event like this, hopefully. But also at the same time, it spurs innovation. It's so much different. We're going to come out of this different. We're not going back. We're going forward. And you heard it from her. She is responsible for Google's search engine dominance. I mean, it's her handiwork. She's responsible for originally marketing their search engine services. Now, how did she do it? She had $0. How did she grow Google? Well, she started by partnering with universities and having them include a Google search bar in their websites. And everything grew from there organically. And then Google's AdSense, if you've ever used that, that's when you buy ads on Google. We can thank Wojcicki for that as well. She came up with the innovative idea to adapt Google's AdWords into the self-service platform that we know it today. So again, don't waste the pandemic. There's some really bad things that are happening out there, obviously. But we've got to look for those silver linings. We got to look for that innovation. We got to figure out how are we going to move forward? What's going to be so much different as we come out of this? When we look back, we're going to see all this innovation that occurred. It was a catalyst, was this year. Tip number four.
Maybe I'm showing my age by saying this, but we didn't have the internet when I was young. So I couldn't have even imagined that. And I think as a young kid, what was I like? First of all, I was really into doing arts and crafts. I was really into being creative and making things. Like I would make paper and pot holders. My first business was making spice ropes and selling them to my neighbor. So I just like to make stuff.
What's a spice rope?
I would braid yarn and then tie cinnamon sticks to it and take colored fabric and put spices in there. And I just would make stuff. And for me, I had this realization that technology was about creation. It was about making things and creating things. And that's what a lot of people didn't seem to see that, especially not then, but I totally got it. I was like, wow, I can make all kinds of really interesting software and it can be distributed. And so many people can see it and they can use it and I can interact with them. And once I got that idea, I just said like, oh, I have to be in tech. This is the best field for me, based on all my interest with the creativity and making things and seeing how I could have an impact that way. I didn't know where it was going to lead, but as long as I was making things, I was happy. And that's what got me started in tech.
That's what got her started in tech. And now she's a mom, you know, and she's really good at what she does. And she believes that having children makes her better at her job. And her job makes her a better mom. She says that having the sum of both of those things going on in her life makes me a better mom. And at the end of the day, and I think it gives me really important perspectives in the workplace as well. I think that's a great perspective. It's such a good thing to see because a lot of successful people, they're divorced or they're not happy or they're not fulfilled. Not all, but a lot of them are. And so it's great to see her setting that example. An example like she's always home for dinner and devotes the hours of 6 to 9 p.m. to her family. Amazing. I mean, any leader can learn from her example. Tip number five.
If I look back at my career, there were a few key things that really helped me. One of them was, first of all, I was just looking to do something interesting. I was just thinking, like, how can I use my skills to help create something that will be used by people and that will be useful and make the world a better place. And when I joined Google, I was employee 16 of Google. When I joined Google, nobody thought that Google was that interesting a company, but I saw that it was enabling people to find information in new ways. And so being able to just focus on what was important, what I saw was adding value, whether or not other people agreed or not, was part of what helped me. I think it was the same thing for YouTube. When I first started working on YouTube, nobody thought it was that big a deal. They thought it was a small little company with like a lot of cats on skateboards that wasn't really going anywhere. But I saw that people could use it for creating and sharing ideas and information and new musicians and artists and creators. So seeing ideas early and believing in them has definitely helped me. But then I would say there's a part two, which was maybe less inspiration and more perspiration, which is just sticking with it and working hard and not giving up and getting through all the hard times and just sticking with it. Keep working on it. Keep waking up every day, thinking about how you can make the company better and add value and
get through the tough times. So I'd say that those are the two key parts.
Rise and grind, my friends. Rise and grind. The research shows that it's really grit, it's not your intelligence, that is the commonality of success. Moving on to tip number 6.
So I studied history and literature at Harvard. I had no idea that I was going to go into technology at all. Like, if you had told me that when I was a student, I would have thought you were completely crazy. I used to come home and I used to do these temp jobs when I would come home from college. I'd have like a week free and I would just call a temp service and say, just place me anywhere. And one time I was like at a lawyer. Another time I actually got placed at the garbage company to answer the phone. And the third time I got placed at a startup. And I realized like, wow, they can use technology and they have these big ambitions. And I thought, that's really cool. I want to be part of it. So when I went back and I was a senior, I decided to take a computer science class at Harvard, which was crazy because there was no other humanity senior taking a computer science class. But it was really good. I got a good basis. And then when I moved back home, I came to Silicon Valley and I was able to get a job. And I've been there ever since.
World's gonna change. It has changed a lot. She's helped shape it. When she first started at Google, it was a friendly place to work, but no one had ever taken parental leave. When she was 4 months pregnant at Google, no one at Google had ever taken parental leave. And now she advocates, she's helped drive for federally mandated paid paternal leave, which she hopes will increase the number of women participating in the workforce, especially in tech. And then also, Google is now a friendly place for working parents. Moms-to-be have special parking places. Employees get 18 weeks of paid paternal leave, and there are nursing rooms on site. So she's helping to drive that change both internally and also externally. Our last tip. Man, we're already there. Our last tip. Tip number 7.
Having kids and working, it's hard for both sides.
So how do you do it? How do you run YouTube with 5 kids?
The main thing for me has been to focus and prioritize. And so I'm really, really good about saying, this is my work time. And when I'm in the office, I am really, really focused on what I'm doing and I'm prioritizing. And I've always kind of thought about, well, how do I get from point A to point B as quickly as possible? Because I don't have forever. Like, I can't stay there until midnight. I can't work weekends. And so in some ways, it actually caused me to see some of the shortcuts, some of the new opportunities, because I was thinking about, like, well, how do I grow this faster? How do I grow really quickly? Like, you know, like, let's just forget about all those other things that are growing slowly. They're not going anywhere. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I got to focus on the big ideas, and we got to get them done now. And so that actually is really good in tech, right? Because tech is, like, about growing big ideas quickly. And so I use my work time to focus on that. And then when I get home, I really try to focus on my family and my kids. My husband's very helpful. You know, and realistically, to be fair, like, as I've you know, risen in my career, I've been able to have more help at home. I think the hard part, and when I really struggled, was when I had my first baby. You know, I didn't know what I was doing at work. You don't know what you're doing at home. And you don't really have any support at either home or work. That's, I think, when it's the hardest.
Support is key, especially this last year for all of us. So make sure you surround yourself both offline, but also, just as importantly, especially in this virtual world that we're living in, is virtually. Make sure you reach out. Don't do what I do. When I'm faced with a challenge, I usually go into my cave. I kind of isolate myself. And that's the last thing you should do. It's the exact opposite. You should be connecting with as many people as possible. And she mentions focusing on the big things. That's what we go over in the new book. So I can't thank you all enough for the support of the book, The Focus Project. Can't believe how well it's doing. But it's all about, how do we focus on the big versus the busy? How do we put our hair out? Like, it's always on fire. How do we make sure we put that hair out? I mean, that's really no way to live life, is to feel like you're running 100 miles per hour each day and not getting anywhere. So it's all about the big versus the busy. Hopefully you're having a big day, and I hope this helped you on your way to achieving that. Again, this is Eric Qualman. Most of you know me as Equal Man. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. A special thanks to our sponsor that made this show possible, Audible. You can hear my new book, The Focus Project, read by me. So if you can't get enough of this amazing voice, just kidding. If you can't get enough of it, then you can get it on Audible. Big thanks to my team for making this all possible, Savannah, Jake, Anna Maria, and Kelsey. And also we want to thank Fortune Magazine, Khan Academy, The Try Guys, and last but not least, Bloomberg Technology. This is your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us, until next time, it's not what we take from the world, it's what we leave behind.
7 6 5 4 3 2 1
Super, super, super,
super you.